chapter number 8. Go to Romans chapter 8. We'll start there, and then we'll go right to Galatians chapter 5. Romans chapter number 8, we will begin there as we open up and, again, lay the foundation for what we've been talking about the last several weeks. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28, the Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." Our Father, I pray that You bless us today as we study, guide and direct our learning. Help us, Lord, to translate that learning into growing and living a life that pleases You in all ways and shows that we are becoming more like Christ every day. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you notice in verse number 29 that word predestinate? Okay, that word predestinate. Well, that throws some people off automatically. They see that word predestination, and they think it's talking about salvation. It is not. The Greek word for predestinate is mentioned 5 times in Scripture, and each one of them has nothing to do with salvation. Not a thing. Now, several months ago, maybe a year or so ago, I preached two messages on those 5 different types of predestinate. 5 different times it is mentioned predestinate. You can look them up on sermon audio and hear those messages. But I want to point out that here in Romans 8, 28 and 29, he is talking about God has saved us and is working things out for our good when we don't make things bad by sinning. When bad things happen to us or uncomfortable things happen to us, He is working in our lives for a purpose. And that purpose is we might be conformed to the image of His Son. So what verse number 29 is telling you is that God did predetermine something. God did predestine something. What He predestined, what He predetermined is that all who got saved, all who would be saved, would be conformed to the image of the Son of God. We would all be like Christ. Oh, no, not physically. We're not going to look like Him physically. But character-wise, we will be like Christ. Amen. We talked about Galatians chapter 5, verses 23, 24, where we read about the fruit of the Spirit. And then again in 2 Peter chapter number 1, where it talks about things that we need to add to our faith. And if you look at those two lists, they're very similar. Because all the things mentioned here in Galatians chapter 5, you can turn over there in verse 22 and 23, all of the different character traits mentioned there, all the things that are commanded throughout Scripture. And we're supposed to add them to our lives diligently. In other words, we're to work at them. We're to follow God's commandments and obey the Word of God and work at these character traits. Try to be like them all of the time. For in doing so, we will be like Christ because He is the perfect embodiment of all of these things. At the same time, when we're obedient to the Scripture, when we're submitted to the Lordship of Christ, when we are filled with the Spirit, He enables us to live them out. Now, I don't use the word empower when talking about the Holy Spirit, because some people get the goofy idea, and it's goofy, that all of a sudden He takes over and you become a Christian zombie. Never happens. Never happens. And anybody who does, stay away from. Okay? It doesn't happen. Okay, there's too much free will in the Word of God for that to happen. There's too many commands in the Word of God that command you to do this, to be this, to act like this, don't act like that. Too many commands in the Word of God for it to be as simple and easy as become a Christian zombie and doing everything right. Doesn't happen. So you need to work at them, and the Holy Spirit will empower you, but I like the word enable you. As you work at it, He will enable you to produce it in your life. Amen. We have talked about several of them. Let's go ahead and look at them again. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. In our list, we have covered love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. We come to goodness this morning. Goodness. We come to goodness. Now, I'm going to link another word to that word goodness as we talk about it this morning, because I think it so fits in with what we're talking about. The word is kindness. Kindness and goodness. Now, if we desire to be like Christ, that's God's desire for us. In fact, He predetermined we would be like Christ. And one day at the rapture, we will become just like Him, character-wise. Okay? We are to work at these things. You're to work at being kind. You're to work at being good. And if you will do that, you will be weird. Okay? You'll be strange. People look at you really strange. I remember I was walking into a store one time, and right behind me was a woman, and I opened the door, and I held the door open and let her go first. Okay, I do it all the time, and I'm sure you do too. And she walked through and then said, "Wow, a gentleman, you're going to heaven for that." And I said, "Yes, I am a gentleman. But that's not why I'm going to heaven. Let me tell you why I'm going to heaven." And I took about 5 minutes to chase her across the parking lot, giving her the gospel. And she was running as fast as she could to get away from me at that point. And you get the idea. But when we're kind, when we're good, we will be weird. We will be weird. Okay? I have visited many parts of the country. And it's true about New Englanders, and you always get mad at me when I say that, but that's too bad. They're not kind. That's why someone could say, "You're going to heaven for holding the door open for me." Okay? Go down to your local store, the one closest to us, I won't say the name of the store, on a Sunday afternoon. New Englanders aren't kind. You'll get run over with a cart. All right. Now you get them saved, you get them in church, then they're kind. You're supposed to say amen when I do that, remember? Amen. That's when they get kind. You know what we ought to be all the time? Let's try that again, because it shouldn't have slipped by you already. What should we be all the time? Good and kind. Amen. All of the time, good and kind, because that's what Christ was. And we're to work at that in our lives. Now, is it always easy? You know, when that person who is the most important person in the world cuts you off because they got to be in front of you and not right behind you. It's not always easy to be good and kind. But that's where we're supposed to be all of the time. So let's begin. Number one, goodness and kindness defined. Goodness and kindness defined. Goodness and kindness are so closely related that they're often used interchangeably. Okay? When you are good to someone, you are kind to someone. When you're kind to someone, you're good to someone. They're used interchangeably very often. But kindness is more of an inner disposition created in us by the Holy Spirit that causes us to be sensitive to the needs of others, whether that need is physical or emotional or spiritual. We've got this inner sense about us at all times that someone needs an encouraging word, that someone needs a smile, that someone needs a pat on the back, that someone needs the door held open for them, that someone just needs to talk. And we give them that. We're kind to them. Goodness then is kindness in action. Okay? The kindness is we have this inner disposition that kind of knows what's going on around us with other people. We don't live in a bubble. We don't live totally zoned out to what's going on around us. We notice. It's that inner disposition that notices other people actually do exist. Wow. That we're not the center of the universe. That we can make a difference in somebody else's life simply by being kind and doing good. Kindness is what you are. Good is what you do. Amen. Our words, our deeds are to be good at all times. Amen. Again, closely related and yet different at the same time. Think of kindness in terms of our awareness of others around us, thoughtfulness we can express toward them. It's almost incidentally because it's who we are, not because of what we've got to work up in our lives. Again, this can be expressed in a smile towards somebody, a thank you, somebody who's done something for us, a word of encouragement to a fellow believer, or simply hello to a child. In each case, it shows a sincere interest in other people. Wow. We got to show that interest in other people because, again, the world doesn't revolve around us. How many people believe that it does? Don't raise your hand. How many people believe that it does? You've met them. They are convinced that the world revolves around them. The solar system revolves around them. The universe revolves around them. They are it. That's not supposed to be us. We are to be different. Okay, so kindness is that inner sense. Goodness, on the other hand, involves deliberate deeds that are helpful to others. You just do good for someone. You do right for someone. If Christ-likeness is our goal, then kindness and goodness will be a part of our lives. Amen. Take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter number 10. Acts chapter number 10. Acts chapter 10, verse number 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Wow. Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He went about doing what? Good. What did they crucify him for? Oh, not for a crime. They crucified him for a claim. He claimed he was the Son of God. But he backed up that claim every time he opened his mouth. He backed up that claim every time he did something for somebody. He went about doing good. Let's kill him. Figure that one out. Yet, that's what happened. If you're kind, if you're good, you will be, I've said it three times now, let's try it again, weird. Okay? And some people can't stand weird. And I mean weird in a good way. You're kind. You're good. There is something wrong with you. Wow. We live in a world where people are jaded. Let's be honest. Where if you're kind to them, you're good to them, they have the thoughts of, what's his angle? What's he really want? What's going on that they're like this? What do they want from me? And this world, this jaded world we live in, understandably is jaded, understandably thinks that way because so many people are that way. So when we're kind and when we're good, they'll think we're up to something. We are. We want to show them Jesus. Amen. That's what we're up to. And that's what we should never apologize for. And that is what we need to do and become more like Jesus Christ so they see him and want to be saved. Amen. This world needs to see him all the time. Number two, kindness and goodness demonstrated. Kindness and goodness demonstrated. Go to Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter 6, verse number 35. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Wow. God said, you do good, because that's just like me. You do good to the undeserving, because that's what I am to you. Wow. Go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Amazing. While we were living for ourselves, he sent Christ to save us. While we had no interest in being right with him, he made a way that we could be right with him. That's goodness. That's kindness. That's God. What's he say? Now it's your turn. Now it's your turn. Go to Titus chapter number 3. Titus chapter number 3. Titus chapter 3, verse number 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. This kindness, this goodness is clearly demonstrated by God to us in the sending of his son to die on the cross for our sins. God demonstrated his goodness, his kindness to the unthankful and evil, to the utterly lost and hopeless, to the rebellious. He showed this kindness and goodness to all, for all, and that includes you, and that includes me. All of us are undeserving of his kindness and goodness. Wow. And we need to understand that about God, because it's easy to be kind and good to the kind and good. Come on. It's easy to be kind and good to the people we like, the people we get along with, the people we think are okay, the people we think deserve it. But God was kind toward us when we didn't deserve it. Oh, we still don't deserve it, but he saved us. He sent Christ to die in our place. Wow. That's goodness. That's kindness. So thirdly, goodness and kindness displayed. How do we display it in our lives? Well, we display it by doing good works. doing good things. You're in Titus chapter number 3. Go to verse number 1. Put them in mind. Paul is talking to his preacher boy Titus here. Put them in mind. Talk about the church he's preaching to. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Verse number 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Look at verse number 14. And let ours, he's talking about the saved, also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. So when are we to do good? I left the microphone so you could go ahead and say it. I could hear you really loud. When are we to do good works? All the time. All the time. We're to do good. We're to be kind. We're to do right. All the time. For in so doing, we will be like God. We will be like God. Christ. Wow. And who needs to see that? Everybody needs to see that in us. In us. I said it in Sunday school. I'll say it again. I've said it often. We need to be in this world normal enough to fit in. In that you ought to be able to go to work and people know you're a good worker. You're a hard worker. You can talk to them about normal things. You can talk to them about current events. You can talk to them about things. Oh, you do what's right. You say what's right. You don't ever compromise anything. But you always talk in love, and you can talk about anything. At the same time, while you're normal enough to fit in, you're weird enough to stick out. Because there's something different about you. And they ought to be able to walk away from you saying, I like him. I like her. There's that God thing. Kind of weird. And everybody in your life ought to know there's that God thing about you. And it begins with goodness and kindness. You don't have to be some weirdo holding up a sign wherever you go with your hair three different colors. Carrying a John 3:16 sign. You don't need to do that. If you'll be thankful and you'll be kind, you'll have the opportunity to open your mouth and tell them about God. Amen. Because you're right with God. And you need to open your mouth and tell him right. The problem is, we become very good at being normal. And very lousy at being weird. Do you understand what I'm saying? We can fit in, but we can't stand out. Where we are called to do both. And that's being like Christ. Amen. That's how we need to be in our lives. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter number 2 again. Look at verse number 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. There it is. Again, that's not the word predestination, but it means the same thing. God has predetermined, before ordained, predestined that those who would get saved by grace, not by works, would now do good works, would now be good people, would now be concerned about others around them at all times for the purpose of showing them Christ. We are to display good works, and we're saved, recreated in Christ Jesus for those good works. And we're going to be doing right all of the time. So, how can we do it? Where can we display these good works that we're supposed to be doing? Well, you ought to be displaying them at work. Amen? Or where you're at most of the time. We're called to be different. We are to be salt. We are to be light in a sin-sick world. We are to be different. We spend over half of our waking hours at work. If we're kind and good, it will be displayed there. Amen. If we're kind and good, people will notice that. And then you'd open your mouth and say something about it. Amen. Go to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse number 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but at a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. It can't be much clearer than that. Okay? When people see you doing good, when people see you are kind, they'll glorify God. They'll say, you're different. They may use the word weird. But that's okay. That's okay. Because I'm becoming like my Father. I'm becoming like my Savior. And that's what God wants. Amen. Ought to be displayed at work. It ought to be displayed at church. Ought to be displayed at church. Now, I don't believe in this universal, invisible entity that some people call the church. I think that's nonsense. Okay? The Bible's written to local churches or pastors of local churches. Look at the New Testament. You read it. Was it written to the church? Okay, so where's church? It's not just when we meet on Sundays, but we're the church when we're at our homes. And if you know a brother or sister in Christ has a need, let your light shine and go help them out. Do what is right. We are to serve our brothers and sisters in Christ, being kind, looking for opportunities to do good. Amen. Go back to the book of Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. Look at verse number 10. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 10. We read here, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. We're to do good by everybody, do good for everybody, but especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. We ought to be willing to lend a hand. We ought to be willing to help out, to give of our time, our resources, our energy, one to another at all times. Again, that we might be like Christ in everything. Amen. At work. At church. How about at home? At home. Probably the most neglected spot to simply be kind. We go to work, we're kind to everybody at work. We go to church and we are kind to everybody at church, and we come home and kick the dog and push away the kids, and that's nuts. Amen? That's crazy. If we're doing good works for others and neglecting our family needs, we are not practicing biblical goodness and kindness. We're putting on a show. And we got to be good and kind to the people closest to us. Sometimes we get the idea that I don't have to be good and kind at home because they have to take it. They can't go anywhere. Okay, that's faulty thinking. Amen. And we need to be good. And we need to be kind at home at all times. 1 Timothy 5:8, don't need to turn there, but it says if we are not meeting the needs of the people at home, we're worse than an infidel. We're not providing for them, we're worse than an infidel, an unbeliever. Amen. So if we sum this up, we talked about having to be good and kind at work. Having. Poor choice of words there. We get to. And at church. And at home. We can sum it up by saying, all men everywhere. Amen? And when I say men, I'm using that word as the non-politically correct way of saying all of mankind. You get that, right? Because I don't care about being politically correct. All right? You get that. All men everywhere need to see Jesus in us. And part of that is kindness and goodness. In doing so, don't go looking for the spectacular. Few people will ever have the opportunity to pull a victim out of the wreckage of a burning car. It's not going to happen. But all of us have the opportunity to administer the kind and encouraging word. To do the little, many times unseen deed that makes someone else's life a little more pleasant while showing them Jesus Christ. That's what we're to be. As we do that, we'll have a greater opportunity to tell them about the Savior that was so kind and so good in dying for all of our sin. But He's not dead. He's risen. And one day we're going to live with Him forever. Amen. But right now, be a little more like Christ in the area of goodness, kindness. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for all that You've done. Thank You for Christ. Thank You for salvation. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness to us. Guide right now as we make decisions. Lord, You've spoken to our hearts. And some of us are not as kind and good as we should be. At all times, everywhere. Convict us. And show us how that we show Christ when we are. Help us, Lord, to understand You want us to be like Christ. That's Your goal for us. And we will be like Christ because You predetermined it. Lord, we got to be working on it right now. Help us to see that fact. And move forward, deciding that's what we're going to do and be, allowing the Holy Spirit to enable us to do it. Guide, direct, bless the decisions we make right now. If there's anyone in our midst who's never been saved, show them that they're a sinner in need of a Savior and that Jesus Christ paid their sin penalty in full. Bless now in these decisions in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. What does God want you to do? First, let me ask you, are you saved? Do you know for certain that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Hold your hand up if you have and say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. Put your hand up as a testament of that fact. I'm saved and I know it. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Amen. 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 Christian, that person at work, that person down the block, that cashier at the store you frequent so often, if they were to be polled in some way or another, And they say you're kind. You're good. You're a little bit weird like that. What would they say? How about your family? How about those who see you most and know you best? Would kind be the word they use? Is good be the word that they use? You know, I don't need to know. Talk to God about that. You know what He wants you to do. He wants you to be like Christ. Maybe you're here today and you've never been saved. You never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. All of those adjectives that the Bible used, evil, unthankful, lost, rebellious, undeserving, they fit you too. Yet God, while you were yet a sinner, sent Christ and He died for you. That's goodness. That's kindness. Now He tells us to show that to others. Maybe you've never experienced God's kindness. You've never experienced salvation. You say, Pastor, I don't know I'm going to heaven. I don't know that my sins are forgiven. I don't know Christ. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Put your hand up. Put it back down. I don't know, Pastor. I'm not sure. The most important decision you could ever make would be to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you want to know more about it, talk to me afterwards. I'd love to talk to you. Our Father, bless now in these decisions that we make. We'll thank You for it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand and get ready to sing our invitation hymn. If God has spoken to your heart, we want you to make a decision. Perhaps you can make it right there where you're standing as you talk to God while we sing. Maybe you need to come down to the front and just pour your heart out to God. Maybe you need to speak to me. If you've never been saved and want to know about salvation, I'll be waiting for you right down front. About baptism, what it is and how you can be baptized, I'll be waiting for you right down front. If you need to join this church, I'll be waiting for you right down front. Whatever you need to talk about, I'll be waiting for you. God is waiting for you to come to Him. Right now, as we sing, talk to Him.